The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And happy National Book Launch Day, folks. The day we have been waiting for, the day we've been telling you about, and I am anxiously awaiting your calls, letting me know what you think about the brand new book. I know many of you have already got your copies and have started reading Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And last night, here in the Memphis area in Germantown, we had a standing room only crowd turnout for the book launch party last night. What a great time. Got to meet so many of our listeners. One couple actually drove 90 minutes to come to the party last night, and we had a wonderful time. Ben Dieter, our morning show host on KWAM in Memphis, did a Q&A with me about the book. And I signed about 120 copies of Twilight's Last Gleaming last night. So we had a wonderful time. And I especially want to thank the good people over at Congregation Coffee. They were kind enough to host us last night. The food, the beverages, everything was just really so well done. And I can't thank our great team here at KWAM and the Todd Starnes Show for the great work that was done last night. And we're off to a good start, a really good start. And I want you to get a copy of this book. Someone told me, we had a lot of young people last night, and one of them said earlier today that they had to put the book down because they were laughing so hard. And I love to hear those kinds of stories. So we're going to be taking your calls. We got a lot of news to cover today, but today is a day of celebration for us. This has been a big project, a major project, and I'm very excited for all of you to read Twilight's Last Gleaming. And, of course, we're going to be doing the big national book tour. We're going to be coming to many communities and neighborhoods around the nation. That all happens, well, wow. This coming weekend, be in Nashville. We're doing Governor Mike Huckabee's show. And then on Saturday in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee area, we're going to be doing an event as well. And we'll tell you more about that later on this week. I want to read to you what President Trump wrote. This is on the back cover of the book. Todd Starnes is a fierce defender of freedom and a great patriot. He has seen and understands what is happening to our country like few others. His book is absolutely terrific, a must-read. Senator Marsha Blackburn says, Todd Starnes articulates Joe Biden's radical attempt to destroy American society, both politically and culturally, like no one else can. America is at a crossroads, and this book provides a beacon of hope and aspiration to embrace our nation's core values and reclaim our founding principles. A must-read for anyone who values freedom, liberty, and the future of America. That coming from Senator Marsha Blackburn. And you know, folks, that's really the purpose of this program, is to be a modern-day Paul Revere, to alert you to the issues, to the things that we see happening on the national level, and explain how these are going to impact you in your towns and in your communities. And everything we do, you know, is flavored with those ideas, those founding principles, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's really what's under attack here. And as I was explaining last night, and we just had a wonderful time meeting so many folks, and I stayed there till the last book was signed. And one of the observations that I make in the book goes back to the 1950s when we saw the communist scare, the Red Scare in America. Do you remember that? Some of our older listeners, our more seasoned listeners, will remember those days when the communists had infiltrated Hollywood. And a lot of people thought, and there's a movie out called Trumbull, and Trumbull was one of the guys, one of the major Hollywood screenwriters who was caught up in all of this, the communist infiltration of Hollywood. And a lot of people didn't understand how significant that was. You know, people said, oh, it's not a big deal. It's Hollywood. Why does anybody care? Who cares if there are communists in Hollywood? Well, you should care, because Hollywood started churning out pro-communist propaganda. You didn't know it was pro-communist propaganda, but it was pro-communist propaganda. They got a hold of it. That's why it was so dangerous. But it's not just in Hollywood. It was happening in our government as well. We had an infestation of communism in America. William F. Buckley wrote about this in God and Man at Yale. William F. Buckley Jr., the founder of National Review, the founder of the Young Americas Foundation, he realized as a student, even as a student at Yale, that the Ivy League schools had already been conquered, that there were atheist and communist teaching in the Ivy Leagues. Ronald Reagan understood this as well. And yet Reagan and William F. Buckley Jr. both understood that our fight was not really a political fight as much as it was and is today a religious fight. This is an issue of morality, right versus wrong, good versus evil. That's what's going on here. And so for us to succeed in November, we have to go to the ballot box, not as Republicans or Democrats or libertarians. We have to go as freedom-loving Americans, people of faith, men and women of faith. And we have to allow our faith to dictate our vote on Election Day. And if you do that, Donald Trump will be reelected in a massive landslide. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump is the only man who can lead us at this moment, in this time, to fight the communist. Only Donald Trump has the fortitude to do that. And look, we have seen this in Congress. We have seen this in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. They do not have, the leadership does not have the stomach for the fight. But Donald Trump does. And if we rally around our leader, Donald Trump, he will take us to victory. And he will evict the communist from American society. And we've got to do it. Capitalism and communism cannot coexist together in one country. It just can't happen. But that's what's happening here. Our public schools have been conquered. And by the way, they've been conquered for generations. They have been ruled by the communists for generations. Now, they don't call themselves communists, but I'm telling you, they're communists. You can call them progressives if you want. You can call them leftist, but they're communist. They want to destroy our way of life. They want to shut down our churches. They want us to worship mankind, not Almighty God. That is the focus of Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can America be saved? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, America can be saved, but it's up to us. We have to determine in our hearts and our minds, is this country worth saving? I believe it is. This is it. There's no other place to run to. Our founding fathers came here. The pilgrims came here. They fled to this land, but there's nowhere else for us to go. This is freedom's last stand. And this is why I want you to read this book and then share it with somebody. That's the message here. Something else here. And again, I am a hopeful person. I believe we are going to win the fight. We will win the day. John Adams, and I wrote this in the final pages of the book. And I want to share this with you. And I'm not going to, I thought maybe I ought to read a chapter. I know Levin does that. And he does it so very well. But I do want to read this to you as we go to break. And we're going to go to the phone lines here. So hang tight. And we've got a lot going on today. But I know that I get these calls from a lot of you, and you're so concerned about how bad things are. And I get it. Things are bad out there. But I want to read this to you. This is the final page, the final few paragraphs of the book. As President John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail in 1776, "Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory." Isn't that a great line? Through all the gloom, and you know what was happening in 1776. Nobody knew if they were going to be alive or not. We were fighting the British, the most powerful military on the planet. And yet we won the day. But at that time, nobody knew. And Adams wrote this. He says, "Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory." Adams and his fellow revolutionaries and their families were facing certain death at the hands of the Redcoats. Yet there was joy in his heart because he knew that his Redeemer lived. And so too must modern-day patriots be courageous and cling to the truth that the light will one day dispel Biden's darkness. Like previous generations, we too must stand in faith with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We must pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We must once again affirm that the truths we hold to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rights given to us not by the Democrat Party or the Republican Party or the Libertarians, rights given to us by Almighty God. In closing, I call on all free men and women, all lovers of American liberty, joyful warriors all, to join me in a prayerful petition to the Supreme Judge of the world, just as our forefathers did so many years ago. May God save the United States of America. And that's how I wrap things up in Twilight's Last Gleaming. So we've got a lot to talk about today. Democrats are going slap crazy nuts. No surprise there. California declaring war on Flamin' Hot Cheetos. We've got a great lineup here. Mike Huckabee's going to drop by. Jim Jordan, David Kostoff. We've got a full lineup of folks here. So hang tight. We're going to be getting to your calls as well. Sonny from Florida already hanging out with us on the lines. We're going to take a break first. Again, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, if you want a signed copy of the book, you can go to our website, toddstearns.com, click on our store, and you will be able to get yourself an autographed copy. The great news, it is actually cheaper than you're going to find anywhere else, even on Amazon. So head over to toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, folks. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back, everybody. And someone dropped me by a little gift bag last night at the book signing. And Barbara Capozella, who is with our local Republican group here, and just a great lady, they rushed back from Nashville. They had a big ladies' day on Capitol Hill there in Nashville and came back. And I just opened the gift. It was a martini glass along with a Diet Coke. We're posting the photograph on the Instagram. Very well done for my Baptist martini, which truly is a Diet Coke. And for all of you Lutherans out there, it comes with a wedge of lemon. So the big story we've been following, and there's so many, but there's a lot of concern about the attacks on Donald Trump, and specifically coming from Letitia James, the president now being ordered to pay a massive $464 million bond. And the problem is nobody's got that kind of money. Right. The bonding companies are just they're not going to be able to cover that kind of cash. And so now Donald Trump is saying, hey, look, we can't pay this. His two sons, Eric and Don Jr., also ordered to pony up cash. So the question is, what happens next? Will the state literally come in and take over or take away his buildings and property? Folks, I'm telling you right now, this is what the communists do. They want to destroy Donald Trump. That's what this is all about. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Sonny in Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Sonny. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is the fact that I think the people that Donald Trump endorsed should be out there supporting him. This Letitia James needs investigation. Her salary is $220,000 a year, but her income is $4 million a year. She owns property. Now, this is all on a city's salary. She owns property from the Bronx down through Manhattan into Brooklyn and some property also in Queens. I bet you dollars to donuts she did not even come close to market value buying these properties. This is probably through the court seizures and everything else through past cases. She needs investigating, and the GOP and the Trump supporters, the people that received their offices or got support from Trump should be there going after this person. And this Alvin Bragg could stand a little looking into also. To me, this is ridiculous. It's unbelievable. This is nothing new to her. She, like I said, owns a lot of property that you know she didn't pay for. She's worth about $15 million, and she wants to probably up that by another 10 if she can get a hold of her hands on some of Trump's organization of properties. And I think she's the one that should be in the hot seat, not our president. January 6th, you want to go after somebody? Go after Pelosi and Bowser.
Let me say this. Yeah, Sonny, I get it. This is the weaponization of the judiciary, right? And if they can do this to Donald Trump, they will do it to all of us. I could imagine a time where they come after the pro-lifers and they demand these outrageously large bonds, meaning the pro-lifers will have to sell their homes, sell their property. Look, they want Donald Trump homeless in the street. That's what this is all about. They literally want to destroy this man. That's what this is all about. Sonny, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But this is what the weaponization of the government looks like. And that's what is at stake on Election Day. I mean, it really is that simple. By the way, President Trump coming under fire, and we're going to talk about this coming up in just a few moments. President Trump under fire for saying Jewish Democrats hate Israel and their own religion. I'd be willing to say American Catholics do too, based on their support of Joe Biden. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to toddsterns.com, click on the store app, and get yourself a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can America Be Saved? We'll be right back. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to toddsterns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to toddsterns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on Book Launch Day here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And getting a lot of comments about the chapter on the trans species dolphin who decides to enroll in the Ivy Leagues. You'll enjoy that chapter, a little parody on Leah Thomas. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Flamin' Hot Cheetos may soon be outlawed in California public schools. A new bill coming out that would ban food products that contain artificial dyes, and Flaming Hot Cheetos is on the list. Also, Jolly Ranchers, Fruit Loops, and Mountain Dew. Here to talk about this and other big stories of the day, our good friend, he is the host of Huckabee on TBN. And by the way, I will be on the Huckabee Show this weekend. Going to be a lot of fun. Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Governor, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Todd. Looking forward to hosting you on the Huckabee Show and talking about your new book. Congratulations for it debuting.
Thank you.
Great bestseller.
Well, we're excited about it, and it's going to be, I always enjoy hanging out with you on the show, and you've always got the best musical guest as well. You never know what's going to happen on that program.
We have a lot of fun and some great music. It's going to be fun. Garth Brooks' daughter is going to be our musical guest this weekend. It's going to be very, very special. We're looking forward to having you, her, and a whole lot of other people on the show. And by the way, this whole idea of outlawing Cheetos in California, I just realized there's money to be made by becoming the black market purveyor of Flaming Hot Cheetos, carrying a truckload and selling them off the side of the street in California, since the lovely people of California are represented by crazy people that don't want them to have Flaming Hot Cheetos. Because that, you know, of all the issues going on in California, I can't think of anything that is more, pardon the pun, on fire than Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Hello. You know what they're going to do, Governor? They're going to have security guards, and they're going to have to – let me see your fingertips.
Orange fingers will no longer be somehow synonymous with using too much nicotine. It's now going to be, have you had a Cheeto? Off with your head.
That's great. Only in California. Governor, poor President Trump. He is now coming under fire for saying something that I believe is true, and I can't figure this out. the president telling Jewish Democrats, basically accusing them of hating Israel. And he said, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Governor, I would contend, I think Catholics and Protestants as well, I'll throw them all in that pool.
Yeah, you know, I would think that if you're voting for Joe Biden this year, it's hard for you to say that you are a Zionist, that you are a pro-Israel supporter, because he's made it very clear that he had rather side with the people supporting Hamas because he wants those votes in Michigan. It's an outrage. And here's another little thing I guess I must have missed somewhere. Remember when Joe Biden said that if you don't vote for me, you ain't black? Remember when he said that?
That's
my
true.
Gosh, I don't remember anything like the kind of outrage from the left that we're getting because Donald Trump said, hey, if you don't vote for me and you end up voting for Joe Biden, you must not really care that much about Israel. And that's because Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and most of the Democrats have decided to abandon Israel because they're trying to suck up some votes from the crazy people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and some other crazies.
And I have to imagine, and especially within the minority communities, and we've seen the polling data that seems to back this up, I think a lot of folks are waking up and realizing that they're being replaced by the illegals coming across that border. And I think that's a great opportunity for the Republicans to step into those communities and say, hey, you know, there's a better way here.
Well, and Todd, if they don't get replaced, their wages are going to go down, because when you throw a bunch of people into the mix who are illegally working, they're not having to pay payroll tax on those folks. They're being paid less wages than would an American worker. What that ultimately does is drive down the wages for all workers. How people can't see through this, I don't understand it. But they also perhaps don't realize that part of the rationale between having these open borders and millions of people coming across is that the census is built on the number of people who live there, not the number of citizens. So they will actually be able to say they will add congressional seats, which will affect the presidential and congressional elections, by having illegals in a state, not because they're going to vote, although I'm sure the Democrats would make sure they can if they will, but because it changes the numbers of how many seats that each state will get in Congress.
Governor, just a few moments ago, Peter Navarro stood before the camera, 74 years old, heading to prison. And, I mean, he is in fact, a political prisoner now of the Biden administration. And Navarro posting a message, calling out the partisan nature of the imprisoning of a top senior White House aide. I know that you weighed in on that. How grave of a situation is this?
Well, it's an outrage, and Peter Navarro was on his way to Nashville to do my show when he first got arrested at the airport. They've now sent him to prison. This is insane. They should let his appeal play itself out, but they're not letting him do that. But the bigger issue is he had a justified reason to withhold going to before some congressional committee because of executive privilege, which is a time-honored doctrine since the time of George Washington. So I don't understand why in the world Peter Navarro is being punished as a political prisoner, which is exactly what's happening to him. And it's just something that it's another outrage when Joe Biden has decided to punish his political enemies, which is what's happening with the Peter Navarro case.
Governor, is somebody breaking into the house? Are the dogs on alert there in the background?
Well, when my dogs found out that I was on the Todd Starnes show, they just went crazy. They said, that's the greatest radio talk show host in America, and they really wanted to be able to make their presence known. So it's just an affirmation of your radio show.
I feel affirmed. I think that's brilliant. Governor Mike Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Golly. You know, I've gotten maybe 8 hours of sleep over the past 48 hours, so I'm a little punchy today, Governor. My apologies. I've got to bring it back to the book. You are the focus of chapter 18 of my book, by the way. Called the chapter, Dixie Has Done Gone Woke. Talking about, among other things, I moved back to Memphis during the pandemic, and the Peabody at the time had stopped serving biscuits and they were serving bagels. I thought, good golly, we've been conquered again. This is terrible.
Oh, no.
But but we also talk about the crazy stories, you know, what the National or the Country Music Association Foundation did to you back in the day. And so anyway, yeah. I thought I forgot to mention that to the governor. So it's a fun chapter. And but governor, again, I think it just goes back to the overall culture being under attack, and people may be under this misconception that it's only happening in the large cities, but it's really happening all over America.
You know, I didn't know that about bagels at the Peabody, but be sure and let me know if Rendezvous Barbecue in Memphis ever starts selling tofu instead of barbecue ribs, then the world is officially over as we know it.
Governor, I hate to break this to you, but it's not Rendezvous. Don't. There is a barbecue. I start out the book with Uncle Jerry calling me from New York. He lives in Mississippi and said, you got to get back home. The rib joint, they're literally serving dry rub tofu.
No way.
I'm
no
afraid
way.
So.
That's just.
It's true.
That's immoral.
Unsweet tea, too.
That is immoral. God needs to come down and turn the whole place into a piece of toast. There's no way we can survive this.
It's a travesty. Well, Governor, I don't know what's going on today. Governor, we appreciate you, as always. And, again, thank you for the invitation. I love coming on the show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And that is, of course, 8 o'clock. Who else is going to be on the program?
Well, as I said, our musical guest is Garth Brooks' daughter. We have a terrific comedian that's going to be with us. And also Ron Hart, syndicated columnist, who is just as funny as heck. Also Congressman Pat Fallon will be with us. So it's got a lot of things going on. And by the way, I'll bring us some Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and we'll sit during the interview and eat Flaming Hot Cheetos and talk about how crazy California has become.
I'll make a pit stop at Bryant's Biscuits in Memphis, and I'll bring those too. So we'll have a good old time. All right, Governor. Always good hearing from you.
Thanks. Take care, Todd.
All right. Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody, host of The Huckabee Show. And that's going to be Saturday, 8 o'clock Eastern, Sunday, 9 o'clock Eastern. And, of course, you can also watch that on Newsmax television. By the way, I'll be on Chris Salcedo's show talking about the book later this afternoon. All right. We've got to take a quick break. Can you believe that flaming? It's insane. But, again, this is what – can you imagine being a child, a student in Los Angeles public schools, for example? And the only joy you have is going to the vending machine and getting yourself a Mountain Dew and some Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And now the Democrats are trying to suck what little joy is left inside those public schools, trying to suck it right out of the. It's just unfortunate. Very sad. And again, as I wrote in my commentary, and I'll share this with you as we go to break, first they came for the Cheetos, but I did not speak out because I don't eat Cheetos. Then they came for the sour cream and onion Pringles, but I did not speak out because I do not eat sour cream and onion Pringles. And then they came for the pork rinds, but there was no one to speak out for me, and now I've got the munchies. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS. And you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, 5 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. So we've got some great guests coming your way. Let's go right now, though, to the phone lines. Bill in North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate there. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
Thanks for taking my call.
Can't make it through the day without you, buddy. I wait every day to hear your show.
Well, thank you for that, Bill.
You're welcome. I've got an idea. You know, we're all waiting around, and we can't wait for Trump to be back in the White House. And we're counting on him to save our country. And I'm a God-loving citizen, and I believe in America, and I believe in Donald Trump. And if we'd all just pitch in a few bucks and start a GoFundMe, we'd have his bail money.
Oh, I like that idea. So you're saying let's do a Trump GoFundMe.
Yes, sir. And it wouldn't, as many as patriots as there are, it wouldn't take many of us, or if all of us just gave a couple of dollars, look what we could do for him since we want him to do for us.
Bill, I like that idea. What I would really like to see are all these multimillionaires who really benefited from Trump and his policies to step up to the plate. And
exactly right.
Maybe they need to start forking over some money. I'd like to see them stand up because, again, this is nothing more, Bill, than the weaponization of our government and the fact that they're throwing Peter Navarro in prison. And by the way, Fox literally cut into Navarro's interview, his statement, and fact checked this man on air. The fact is he did nothing wrong. This was a devoted advisor to the president, and they're throwing him in prison. That is his crime. He worked for Donald Trump.
Makes a man want to puke what's going on. I mean, it's Nazi to the third degree.
Yes, sir. It is. You're right, Bill. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you for that call, and we appreciate you listening, Bill. Thanks for those kind words as well. Well, folks, another big thing we're doing this week, all this month, we are conducting a radiothon for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. You did a good job yesterday, folks. You donated a lot of money. We are well on our way to the $17,000 that we are raising for Alliance Defending Freedom. I said 20, but we're supposed to be raising 17. But I still think we can hit that 20,000 mark. $17,000 one week from today. Our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are heading to the Supreme Court. They're arguing their case against the Food and Drug Administration. Now, the FDA has endangered the health and safety of every woman, every girl in America by removing safety standards on these harmful abortion drugs. Go ahead and take the abortion drug. It's not going to kill you. Really? Well, next month, ADF is going to be back at the Supreme Court helping the state of Idaho as it fights the Biden administration's attempt to force doctors to perform abortions against their convictions. Now, we're talking about these two cases alone are going to cost $2 million to defend. And this is why they need our help. They don't charge their clients a single penny. So they use the money they raise to fight these court cases. And they are very, very, they do a good job managing their nickels and dimes. So that's why I have pledged that we will raise $17,000 and help them fight these cases on behalf of the unborn. In the meantime, ADF continues to defend men and women just like you in other legal cases. I want you to listen to ADF spokesman Lance.
It's incredibly important. And yes, it's important that we fund the work of the ministry so that we can do the legal work for these individuals. But it's so much bigger than that, because for everyone's freedoms. And when we think about living our lives according to our deeply held beliefs, or we're leading our businesses or our families, these cases have significant impact for Americans all over the country, not just for the individual that we're representing.
Well, he's right. And that's why we're doing this. And so I want you to join the campaign today. Help me reach the goal, $17,000 for Alliance Defending Freedom by the end of the month. We can do this, folks. I mean, you guys have done a great job thus far. So click on the banner at toddstearns.com, top of the page. You can also phone in your most generous gift. Here is the number. Write this number down, 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. Oh, have you heard about this story? This is weird. Out of Georgia, the Phoebe Putney Health System, one of the largest healthcare providers in the state, and I think have 40 counties they cover in Georgia, huge, Anyway, a Daily Wire reporting that the Gideons have not been able to give out Bibles in the hospital for the past couple of months. And the reason why is, according to the Daily Wire, because of the hospital's new diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Unnamed sources are telling Daily Wire the ban is anti-Christian and a direct result of those policies that are excluding people of faith. Now, the hospital says, well, it's not true. And they say the Gideons cannot walk around the hospital. All right, well, then, in other words, the Gideons are banned from being in the hospital. And they said if a patient really wants a Bible, they can request one. Wait, what? Now, I know a little something about this, and I know that in most hospitals, there's always a Gideon's Bible in the room. Usually it's in that little drawer right next to the bed. So why is the hospital now, the hospital is basically admitting that there are no Bibles in the rooms anymore. But if you want one, they'll get you one. So I don't know. The whole explanation coming from the hospital is, what's the word the kids are using these days? It's a little sus. But that's just me. All right, got to take a break here. Congressman Jim Jordan coming up. Also, we're going to be talking to the Afternoon Drive host on KWAM, Earl Farrell, longtime broadcast journalist, and he has some thoughts on what all these folks are doing with Trump in the media these days. Cheryl Chumley, Congressman David Kostoff coming up at the final hour. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us today. And happy National Book Release Day. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Now in bookstores across the nation. And we're really excited. The numbers are already great. Book already in its second printing, getting ready to go into a third printing. And we're pretty excited that so many people are now able to get the book and read the book. We had a great event launch party last night in the Memphis area. And thank you for all of our great listeners who turned out for that. I want to read to you one of the great endorsements. This is coming from Congressman Jim Jordan. Todd Starnes has been sounding the alarm that America is under attack from within. For more than two decades, he's been the trusted voice on the front lines of the battle to save this country. Twilight's Last Gleaming is a roadmap for patriots who want to save America. One of the many endorsements, including President Trump's, on the back cover of Twilight's Last Gleaming, and you can get a copy at your favorite bookstore or a signed copy over at toddstearns.com in the store. I want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, our good friend, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing fine, Todd, and congratulations. And I apologize, I wasn't able to get to your event. I had another thing going last week. I couldn't get to that event when you had here ceremony you had here in D.C., but congrats on the best-selling book. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Ralph Norman and Kostoff were saying stuff about you at the party, but I said, no. Congressman Jordan's a friend. But I appreciate you doing that, Congressman. Thank you.
He's a good guy. Yeah. Well, you're a good man, and you're doing the Lord's work, so I'm glad the book is doing well.
Congressman, a lot to talk about, and you've got an amazing op-ed, and it's already gone viral over on Fox, talking about the efforts by big government and big tech and even big academia to silence us. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, this is this unholy alliance where big government, we know, pressured big tech, but in the course of our investigation throughout this Congress, we learned, you know, the Stanford Virality Project was involved, the Election Integrity Project, all these things with big academia as well. And now we see that it's big banks spying on your transactions and giving that information to the government without any process, without a warrant. So this is scary. And yet I will tell you, yesterday at the first time in 17 years, Todd, I went to the argument there in front of the Supreme Court. in my time here in Congress, and I was shocked at what one of our justices said when she said, you're allowing the First Amendment to hamstring the government. And when she said that, I thought, like, that's the whole point. But we had a Supreme Court justice say that. So this is how serious this censorship effort is. And it's, again, why we spend so much of our time on the Select Committee and on the Judiciary Committee trying to address it.
Well, there are so many big issues that could win the presidency for Donald Trump. And I have to think the weaponization of the government is one of them. But the other is this border and this crazy story that came out. You've got a guy claiming to be a member of Hezbollah was captured trying to sneak across the border. What did this guy allegedly want to do?
Yeah, no kidding. But it's not the first person on the terrorist watch list who's done that. And this, I think, just underscores how serious, how broken under the Biden administration, how broken our border is. And understand how we're on pace in the Biden 4-year presidency. We're on pace to get to 12 million illegal migrants coming across the border. That's equivalent to the entire population of our state, Ohio, the seventh largest state in the country. I mean, that's how serious it is. And when you have that kind of influx of people, of course you're going to get bad guys. 180 some different countries, I think, have come across, people from those countries have come across, and you're going to have people like this guy tied to a terrorist organization. Who knows what he was up to? But my guess is it probably wasn't anything any good.
Yeah, the allegations, I think he told authorities he wanted to make a bomb. He was going, or at least bound, for New York. My concern is all the other people that got across that we don't know about that may have these similar, you know, plans and goals here. And again, I mean, these people are living in just about every community in America now. It's really kind of frightening, Congressman, when you step back and realize we have got a great big target on our backs and the enemy may be living among us.
Yeah. And what kind of administration, what kind of president allows this to happen to our country? I mean, it's like you know, we all, I'm getting old now, and we grew up, you know, you think the president, whatever party, the president deep down cared about the United States, cared about the people of the greatest nation ever. And yet here he's allowing this to happen, knowing that there's going to be bad things happen with terrorists, or the terrible event that, you know, the taking of Laken Riley's life over in Georgia. I mean, it's like, why would a commander in chief allow this to happen in our country? But it's just, this is the Biden administration, and I frankly can't think of one thing they've done right.
You know, Congressman, just a few moments ago, Peter Navarro stood before the cameras, and I was angry, and now this is heartbreaking that you have a man, and he's in his 70s, going to prison. He stood before the cameras. He said, this is the partisan weaponization of our judicial system. I will walk proudly in there and do my time. I will gather strength from this. What sort of a precedent does this sort of sentence send to the rest of the country?
Yeah, just when you think you've seen it all, something more happens. I mean, the escalation of what the left has done with this lawfare, with the weaponization of government, it's, you know, we see it mostly with President Trump. You know, they spied on his campaign. Then it was the Mueller investigation. Then it was impeachment. Then it was the raiding his home. Special Counsel Smith gets named, indicts him in Miami and D.C. Then they tried to use the 14th Amendment. The party of democracy tried to use the 14th Amendment to keep their political opponent off the ballot. I mean, thank goodness the Supreme Court said 9-0 not to do that. So it just continues to escalate, and it's frankly frightening what they're willing. We saw it last week in the hearing. Robert Hur came in and testified. He said Joe Biden willingly, knowingly kept and disclosed classified information. But because he's a forgetful old man, we are not going to press charges. We are not going to recommend charges. But meanwhile, President Trump, who was the president when he was handling the classified information, unlike President Biden or unlike Secretary of State Clinton, President Trump's the one who gets indicted. So it's just a continuation of this double standard that is so wrong. And I think it underscores why it's so important President Trump win this November and get back in the Oval Office.
You know, the question I raise in the book, Congressman, can America be saved? And the answer is yes, it can be saved. And I know you're a hopeful person. I'm a hopeful person. But we have to get back and cling to the values and traditions of our founding fathers. And this transcends political parties. We have to be American patriots on Election Day. And we got to save our country from the communists. That's what this election is about.
Protect it. Exactly. Protect the Constitution. The First Amendment is designed to hamstring the government, Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's what it's for. So let's get back to understanding the basic of the Constitution and defending those liberties that we have as grants and gifts, not grants from government, but as gifts from God. That's how our country was founded. Let's get back to those core principles, fundamental principles. We do that, I think we'll be just fine.
Well, Congressman, thank you. Always, we appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, and thank you for endorsing the book. That I greatly appreciate that.
You bet. God bless you. Take care.
All right, Congressman Jim Jordan, everybody, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and one of the great endorsers of the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. So get yourself a copy today. And he's absolutely right. It's really appalling when you have a Supreme Court justice declaring war on the First Amendment. But this is where we are right now. Do we have this audio? This is Peter Navarro. Just moments ago, before he gets ready to serve his prison sentence.
Fact check me on this. Before he got appointed to the bench by Barack Obama, he was what's called a bundler. You know what a bundler is? He bundled checks to give to the campaign of candidate Obama. And coincidentally, he winds up on the bench. Democrat, 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 Democrat. The final issue is I go to the appeals court. The appeals court to get simple release pending my appeal, which is the normal course. And it was given immediately to Stephen Bannon. No. The judge fights me on that. But the appeals court, think about this. Mr. Woodward files that appeal. It comes into three judges. Two of them are Republican. One is a Democrat. We've got your appeal. Time passes, a short period of time. We get the ruling back. Appeal denied. Three Obama judges on the three panels. Three. How did that bait and switch happen? That's supposed to be a random draw. You know what the odds of that are? Less than 20%. Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. From start to finish. This is the partisan weaponization of our judicial system. Please write these big stories. Now, the last thing I want to say is that's prison. That's where they take your freedom. But as hard as it will be on me and as hard as it will be on anybody who is in there, it's harder on their families. And this is who those Democrats have hurt. This is who the Democrats have hurt. I will walk proudly in there and do my time. But what they do to people, and by the way, fact check this. I will be the only person in that prison who's been convicted of a misdemeanor. Everybody else is in there for felonies. I will gather strength from this. Donald John Trump is the nominee for the Republican presidential campaign.
All right. There you go, folks. This is the reality of America right now, where a great patriot, a man who was asked to serve his country by the President of the United States, agreed to do so. A brilliant man. Peter Navarro is one of the most brilliant men in this country. He refused to testify before this congressional committee, the J6 committee. And as he said, it was a misdemeanor. And for that, he has been put in shackles, hands and legs. He has been paraded about in perp walks. And now he is being sent to prison for a misdemeanor. Now imagine for a second, let's just say you're driving down the street and you forget to put on your blinker, right? And you get pulled over. It's a little misdemeanor, right? A traffic citation, a misdemeanor. But could you imagine a time in American history when the cop would pull you over for that and say, okay, what's your political affiliation? Oh, you're a Republican? Are you a Trump supporter? Did you vote for Donald Trump? Step out of the car, please. And imagine being sent to prison because you forgot to put on a turn signal. That's what we're talking about here. But this is the weaponization of the government. This is the deep state that Trump was fighting against his first 4 years in office. They want to target every single one of us, and they will unless we stop them in November. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stearns radio program. Hey, don't forget, check out PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. They have some great, great benefits and discounts just for our listeners at PatriotMobile.com/Todd, America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. Great, great, great cell phone company. All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Chris in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I just like to know what the Republicans are doing about all this wrongdoing. It's supposedly illegal. So what are they doing about it? You know, I hear Jim Jordan, a great friend of the show, great man, great man. What are they doing about Peter Navarro? What are they doing about what's happened to Trump? Bragg. Why are they not going out looking into them, trying to get stuff up on them? And my question is, what are the Republicans doing?
Well, it's a good question, and I will say that Jim Jordan is actually trying to do something, and you know, they're investigating, holding hearings, but there's only so much one man can do, and he's doing, I think he's doing a yeoman's work. But the problem is leadership, and does leadership have the stomach to get out there and call this what it is? I mean, we're watching behavior that was very prevalent during the Soviet Union era, during the era of the communist in Russia. I mean, this is insane. They are now jailing people who they consider to be political enemies. That's what's going on right now.
And I agree with that, Todd. Jim Jordan, such a great man, had the chance to be speaker and didn't do it. And we know why he didn't do it. And just like your screenwriter said, when I said, why are the Republicans not speaking out? She said, well, it's probably because they're scared they'll get the same thing. So what I'm saying is, when you tell the people our country can be saved, I agree, but I do not agree if we're fighting the Republicans too. And so, you know, we know the Democrats, the Republicans are doing nothing. Our president is being shamed every way coming and going, and nobody's doing anything about it. So we are fighting the Republicans, not the Democrats.
Well, I think we're fighting everybody. Yeah. All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. Yes, we're fighting the Republicans. We're fighting the Democrats, too. We're fighting a lot of people up on Capitol Hill. But look, a lot of this is our fault. We keep sending these people and then reelecting these people to Congress, and they become entrenched. They become multimillionaires. They become emboldened to all the lobbyists. And then all of a sudden, they're representing the lobbyists and not we, the people. That is a big problem. But the question is, what are we going to do about it? We have the ability, but we have to start finding candidates that will support and defend our values, that will represent us, we, the people, and not the big companies. I mean, it really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. But the reality is that people don't want to get out to vote. You know, they talk, well, you know, the Democrats are stealing the elections. Yes, they've been doing that for generations. How do you think John F. Kennedy got elected, for crying out loud? But when you've got most of the Republicans and most of the conservative Christians in America, and they don't want to get out there, they don't want to go vote on election day, you know, we can't fix that. That's a you problem. That's not an us problem. That's a you problem. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls throughout this hour of the program. Also, Cheryl Chumley coming up, opinion editor for the Washington Times. By the way, they did a great review of the book. Really appreciate that. All you folks who subscribe to Western Journal, they have a great op-ed and a great endorsement of the book as well. So be sure to check that out. And coming up in just a few moments, Earl Farrell, host of the Earl Farrell for Memphis program, longtime journalist, has some things to say about the Trump bloodbath hoax. So we're going to get to that as well. All right, it is book launch day here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You can go to toddstearns.com right now, click on our store folder, and you can order a copy or get it wherever you buy your books. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And coming up this Friday, heading to Nashville for the taping of Huckabee Show. You'll be able to watch that on Saturday on TBN and then again on Newsmax TV as well. And we'll tell you about the event coming up on Saturday in Murfreesboro, but that's going to be a lot of fun. Biscuits and gravy is on the menu. So it really doesn't matter how good the book is decent, but when you're up against biscuits and gravy, I'd go with the biscuits and gravy. I want to bring into the conversation, welcome into the studio, good friend of this program and the afternoon drive host here on KWAM in Memphis, Earl Farrell. Earl, the book or biscuits and gravy?
I like the book, but I'm also partial to biscuits and gravy.
That is a political answer, Earl Farrell. Oh, my gosh. Welcome, first of all. I know you've been on the show before, but I wanted you to come on to talk about this crazy story. We mentioned it yesterday. The mainstream media advancing this bloodbath hoax against President Trump. And of course, you've been in the media for a pretty long time. And before we jump into that, give us your background as a broadcast journalist.
Started right out of the University of Texas at Austin. Came back to my hometown, went to work for the CBS affiliate, 1972.
So it's inappropriate for me to ask if you worked or if you knew Edward R. Murrow. So that's
I knew who he was.
Yeah.
But then I was in two stations in that market, Tyler, Texas, Dallas. Then I came here to Channel 3 and worked at Channel 3, Channel 5, Channel 13.
In the Memphis market. Mm-hmm. So you've covered a lot of news over the day. Have you seen a change in how local news is done?
Absolutely. I saw it happen while I was in the middle of it. I remember at Channel 5 going to the morning meetings, which you do throughout your career, whether it's radio or television, and talk about the breaking stories of the day, what you're going to cover, but was never said, here's the angle we're going to take on it, until I was at Channel 5. And had the morning meeting, there'd been a new change in leadership there, a new news director. And, in fact, they called me in, and I did mostly feature stuff. And they said, we're changing what you do and how you do it. And I said, okay, well, what am I doing now? I said, murders, fires, and wrecks, and disasters. That's it. And then one particular day they said, this is the angle we're taking on this. I said, I haven't left the building yet. They said, well, this is how we're going to promo it, and this is the way you're going to go. I said, then you put your name on it, because that's not me going out and covering the story. I mean, and I had to battle that from that point on.
I've always felt, and you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here on this, but it just seems to me that on the national level, I think there is an ideology issue. And I think that comes from the fact that most of those people manning those newsrooms on the network level live in New York or D.C. or L.A. But on the local level, I think you've got more of a mix of maybe opinions and political beliefs and religion, I think, plays a bigger role than at the national level. Is that an accurate assessment of it?
I think what has happened is that a younger generation has come on, and they're going through these universities, which are mainly liberal professors, and they don't teach them to go out and cover the story, and it does become ideology. And it's like I heard Don Lemon trying to defend his position on censorship with Elon Musk the other day. And Elon goes, you are loving censorship. He goes, well, I think you have the responsibility to do the right thing. He said, but you're deciding what the right thing is. And I think that's what you're seeing going on in newsrooms now. It's no longer is it Edward R. Murrow or Walter Cronkite saying, here's what happened today. And we're going to show you and talk to both sides, and you come up with your assessment of what you think happened. That doesn't happen anymore.
And that's I find that to be a problem. And especially at, for example, the White House, when you look at that press corps, you see very, very young people who have zero life experience. And I think if you're at the White House, you need to have some life experience under your belt so you can understand the big international and national issues with some context.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, it's not the fault of a young person.
Oh, no, not at
all. They just don't have experience. And there is no substitute for experience. I mean, when you went to New York as a young reporter, you walked in there and you went, where do I start? But you only get better by going through all the different situations you go through and the observations you make. And then when you walk into a scene today, you look at it and you go, I know exactly what's going on here.
It's a great point you bring up. And I remember my first gig in New York, I was the overnight guy, you know, 9 p to 6 a. And it was that idea of, you know, all right, what do I need to do? And then you stick around and then you hang out and do other stuff, you know, just because you want to be in the newsroom. You know, that's, but nowadays I think the idea is, okay, what's my title? You know, what, how much are you going to pay me?
And I see another thing too. Young people used to hang around newsrooms, radio stations, not getting paid, just to hang around to see what they could learn, how they could get into the business. And you don't see that anymore. It's not apprenticeships. There are apprenticeships out there. But these were just girls and guys that said, I just want to be around this business.
How dangerous is it for us to be in a situation where we have the media out there intentionally misrepresenting something that President Trump said? You know, they did that in the Charlottesville story. They did it in the in this bloodbath story over the weekend. How dangerous is something like that?
If we don't respond, it is very dangerous. And we've seen it happen over and over again with the mainstream media. You saw what Morning Joe did. He put up a text about the bloodbath, and then Elon Musk responded to that, and Joe took his text down because he got called out. They're not used to having anybody call him down and call him and say, hey, that ain't true. That's not what happened. You took it out of context. Mm. And I think that is what you have to do. I just don't see that happening in mainstream media. They never question anything that they say.
Earl Farrell is a longtime veteran journalist, and he is host of the afternoon drive show on our flagship station, KWAM, in Memphis. Earl, when you look at fixing this, because it has to be fixed, I think we have to have a strong fourth estate for it all to work. You know, how do we get back to the roots of good journalism in America?
I think what you're seeing is what's going on here. You look at the turnout you had yesterday at your book signing. People are paying attention. They do see what's happening. And I think that is the big mistake that the mass media makes is they think, in fact, I used to hear them call them Jane and Joe Sixpack. And we'll tell them how they think and what to think. And people they're not going along with that anymore. They're sitting there going, no, that ain't right. And look at the response to what's happening to Trump with all these lawsuits and everything they're doing to him. It has absolutely turned the entire country against them and the mass media for not telling the straight story. We all see what's going on. I mean, people are smart, and never underestimate the American people. I will tell you that in any situation. These are smart people out there, and they know what's going on.
You've, again, spent a lot of time in doing radio, but you spent most of your career in TV news. What was that like? Was that, I mean, working at that, you know, a lot of people have seen the TV movie or the movie Anchorman with Will Ferrell. And I think the reason that movie is funny is because there was a certain time in our industry when that was pretty normal behavior in the newsroom.
Listen, we had an absolute blast, especially in the smaller markets, because we were out inventing it. I mean, it was the pioneer time, and we were making stuff up, how to match up a tape recorder with a silent film camera, and so to play the tape, because you didn't have sound cameras. You had them, but you had to really go to a lot of trouble to get them out. We were going up, and when the weather guy would say it's going to snow tonight, we'd take those little peanut styrofoam things and drop them down on his head, or go up and bump the back of the weather map that had those stick-on magnetic clouds and suns, then everything would drop off the board, and he would have to go, well... So we had, it was fun. It was, the fun kind of went out of it, though.
I remember one of my early days, I was an AP, which is the lowest of the, AP, you know, of the newsroom, staff. And my job, we were doing something on Dalmatians. And I don't know why, but they wanted, the news director was like, Starnes, I want 101 Dalmatians. in the studio by the noon show. And I'm like, where am I going to find 101 Dalmatians? This makes no sense at all. But it was, you're right. It was that chaos, that craziness. One minute you're covering an armed robbery at the bank, and the next minute you're trying to, you know, find Dalmatians.
Well, it was what also changed were the viewing public. When I first started, people were very reluctant to be interviewed on television. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. And then now you go up to young kids and they walk in. I'll tell you exactly what I think. This is that and that. And there's no shyness. I mean, it's part of their world. But when I first started, their people had never been on television, never been around a TV camera. They'd never been to a studio before. And now it's such a part of everybody's life. But back in the early days, it was fun. It was a great time to be breaking into this medium. And it's still great.
Now, what was crazy about Memphis and is that in addition to doing the TV, a lot, you know, at least one of the TV stations hosted a big wrestling thing. And, of course, Dave Brown, who was the beloved weather guy, was also very involved in that.
In fact, he had been at Fox 13 now, but it was just Channel 13, WSBQ. That's where the big time wrestling and Dave worked. Channel 5 goes over and makes him a deal. That's about four non-competes and all that. And it said, we're going to bring wrestling, and we want you to come with it. So it was a package deal. They moved to Channel 5, and every Saturday morning at 9 or 10 a.m., they would have an audience, a live audience in the studio. Jerry, the King Lawler, all these guys that everybody knew that were on the circuit, and they would all be there. And I'd show up because when I first started there, I was working weekends. And here they are sitting around the canteen with their shirts off, all greased up, reading the newspaper and eating Twinkies. It was, but if you were hanging out with the wrestlers and everybody, that you were a celebrity because you were back there in the break room with all the big time wrestlers.
Do you miss that, the day to day of the, you know, you never know what's going to happen?
Well, we have that here because we're covering it here. I don't miss getting up at 3:30 in the morning and doing live shots for 5.5 hours on Fox.
I understand
13.
That. Yes,
it's and in the bitter cold, I did love it, and I loved working with the people in the business because there's some great people. Especially, I love working at Fox 13 with Valerie and Ernie and just all the photogs, the producers. They got a great bunch of people over there, and I still have a lot of friends. Ron Childers, one of my really good friends. You got, but so many people have retired. I'm like one of the old dogs that's still around.
See, that's going to be me. I'm going to be like Earl Farrell, like, you know, 60 years. And I'm not too far behind you, but I just, if you're in the news business, it's sort of in your blood.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you see the lights flashing, you turn around and you go and see what's on fire or what crashed into what. But again, I think going back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier, it's sad because there was a time when newspaper reporters were respected
and trusted
Yes. And that's the key, is trust. And there's just so much, especially in social media right now, and conservatives are just as guilty as the liberals on this, when they're exaggerating things or putting out reports that turn out not to be accurate. You know, that's a big problem.
It is. And that's why when I moved to Memphis, Channel 3 had done some stories about cops eating in donut shops and hanging out there. And I got here and I tried to go up and talk to a police officer about what was going on. They wouldn't speak to me. I said, are they mad at us? I said, well, yeah, we did this expose on them being donut eaters. I went, oh, well, you should have told me.
Oh, gosh.
So it took several years, but they do have to learn to trust you. And they would give me information and say, don't say anything about this, but here's what's going on in the background. And I never would say anything. But that's them just testing you to see if you would leak out information that you were told not to. And so you have to build trust, and once you get the trust, you got it.
That's it, and that's the way to do it. I remember my very first reporting job. I was a crime scene. I was the police reporter. I had to go every morning, check out the police blotter, see who got arrested, who got whatever. And one night, it must have been 1 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door, and it was a deputy sheriff, and I was being summoned by the sheriff to come to my very first murder scene. And it was insane. But it was one of those things where, as you said, you're building up trust, you're doing a good job, and then they start bringing you in and, you know, letting you in on more details and everything. So, well, Earl, appreciate you coming on the program today. I know you've got to get ready for your show in Memphis. But again, I think it's important for people to understand there was a time when journalists were trusted in this country, and we've got to get back to that.
Well, and there are many who are, but you've got to earn it.
That's it. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Coming up in just a few moments, Cheryl Chumley is going to be here along with our good buddy, Congressman David Kostoff, another great endorser of the book project. And again, you can get your signed autographed copy right now by going to toddstearns.com. And we have some we have a lot of books available there. So be sure to check that out as well. All right. Another thing, folks, and we have been doing our best to support our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. You will find the Stand with ADF banner at the very top of toddstearns.com. And I would encourage you to go there sometime today and consider making a donation, helping Alliance Defending Freedom as they get ready to launch two major Supreme Court cases, one involving these outrageous abortion drugs. So toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to help. It's going to cost them over $2 million to defend these two cases. And so we are doing our part by helping to raise $17,000. And you can do that again by going to our website. All right. I want to play some audio real quick. They sat down, a reporter sat down with a husband and wife. They happened to be Obama supporters back in the day. Take a listen.
In 2008 and 2012, you voted for
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. 2016.
I voted for Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton. 2020.
Donald Trump.
Biden. And who will you vote for in 2024?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. You may vote for the former president.
I may.
Why do you say that?
My views on certain things have changed. I am very much so riding the fence.
What are you struggling with?
Being in a pattern of doing the same thing that I've been doing, because it's kind of like second nature. Like when you go in a poll, you hit Democrat. Something has to happen. I mean, it's just so expensive to survive. And we're planning on having kids. I don't want to live in a stressful environment trying to rub two pennies together to try to make it either.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it really is that simple. When you have conversations with folks, whether they're people you work with, whether folks you go to church with, and you think things through logically, you know, folks understand, well, wait a second, there's no way that the policies of these Democrats and what Joe Biden has done to this country, there's no way I'm better off now than I was 4 years ago when Trump was president of these great United States. It really is that simple. So again, this is a matter of, you know, and what are we called to do here? We got to go out there and we have to be political evangelists, right? We got to go out there and we got to share the great news about these policies and what these policies mean for you, for your family, for your pocketbook, for your religious liberty, for your freedom, for your free speech, as Congressman Jim Jordan was so eloquently talking about just a few moments ago. So we're going to be taking your calls on this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm curious, have you been able to talk to folks who are Democrats? Have you been able to convert anybody over to the Republican way of thinking? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Also, be sure to download our free podcast and newsletter. You can do that by going right now to toddstearns.com. Free resources for you. I've been asking you to fork over some cash for this book, so we got to give you some free stuff, and we're giving you some free stuff. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today on Book Launch Tuesday. And we're very excited. Reports are flooding in all over America as people are getting their copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Folks, thank you for all of you who turned out last night. We had a huge crowd at Congregation Coffee in Germantown, Tennessee, for the launch party. And already a lot of photographs we're posting on all of our social media platforms, so be sure to check those out. You can get yourself a signed copy. So if you would like a personally signed copy of the book, you can do that by going to toddstearns.com and clicking on the store banner at the top of the page. You can also get it at your favorite bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you might be able to find those books. Welcome. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Very honored to have our good friend Cheryl Chumley joining us. She is the online opinion editor for the Washington Times, also the host of a great podcast called Bold and Blunt. And Cheryl, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great, Todd. Thank you for having me, and congratulations on your book launch. I have my signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, and it is tremendous. Thank you for writing this.
Well, you're very kind, and by the way, it was a great interview you did, and that was a lot of fun. We got to hang out together at the NRB, and you got to meet the lovely Grace Baker. The whole crowd was there.
Gang was all there. It was great to chat with everybody, yes.
Cheryl, very excited about what you guys are doing at the Washington Times, and really the whole digital presence and platform that you guys have. And I want you, before we jump into the article you wrote, I want you to tell all of our listeners about Higher Ground. What's that all about?
Oh, what a great product the Washington Times has started. So it's basically a newsletter within the Washington Times' pages that dedicates or focuses solely on faith-based news. And in this day and age, right, Todd, don't we all need a little bit of faith with our news? So if you want to read it, subscribe to it, or even contribute to it, just go to WashingtonTimes.com and look for the special section.
So you're saying that maybe one of our listeners might have something they could contribute to the page?
Yes, including you, Todd. I mean, you write about this stuff all the time. Not that you need to expand your platform even more, but we would welcome you, your contributions. It's a perfect match, faith with news.
Well, it's something that I think we need more of. And the great Terry Mattingly, really the dean of religion journalists in America, always talked about, you know, how the mainstream media has a hard time getting religion, you know, and understanding religion.
They do. And, you know, I notice whenever they want a quote from the religious side, right, they'll go to the Catholic religion, or they'll look for a quote from the Pope. But Christianity is so much more broad than that. And I think a lot of journalists miss the point because they themselves are more secular. So it's great, you know, you brought up NRB, how we met there. It's great to see so many journalists of faith gathering dedicated to put forward the view of Judeo-Christian principles as it applies to modern-day events.
It was, and I have to say, I was just fascinated to be able to sit down, and we just had a fun time. I was really intrigued with your testimony and, you know, how you came to know Christ. And I think those kinds of stories are not only important, they're just so encouraging to other people as well.
They are, and it's so, you know this as well. You and I have been in the news field for decades, right, years and years, and it gets a little bit of dark and gloomy reporting on politics, because it always leads down to the same avenue, right, that our individual rights are being encroached upon, whether we're talking Republicans or Democrats. But when you take it to the next level, faith in America and belief in God and your walk with Jesus, that's what captures people's attention, because that's the inspiration that everybody needs.
Let's talk about this this column you have, Cheryl, and I'm really fascinated by this story because it's a weird thing, but it's something we need to talk about. There is a new Gallup survey out, and they say an estimated 7.6% of Americans 18 or older identify as some sort of a member of the LGBTQ persuasion, and that's more than one in five Gen Zers almost 1 in 10 millennials. So are we in the midst of some sort of a weird evolutionary process here? Why so many Americans now identify in the LGBT world?
Well, if you look at the root of that, it all turns back to the fact that in America, we are growing more and more secular, right? Fewer and fewer people are going to church. Fewer and fewer people believe in God and the concept of moral absolutes, absolutes rights versus wrongs, and so forth. And then you have the rise of the nuns, those who believe in something, but they're not sure what, and it doesn't apply to their day-to-day living. And so it makes sense then that you have this sort of lost, drifting generations, the younger generations, looking to fill the void that God would normally fill. And then here come along the demonic type of agendas called LGBTQ, and they promise that you can be whatever you want to be. You could be a boy if you're a girl, or vice versa, or a they, or whatever. And so it's very enticing to those who aren't grounded in a proper moral compass, which is to say godly principles.
Cheryl Chumley is the online opinion editor for the Washington Times. Her article, LGBTQ Population Grows on Wings of Delusion, Lies, and Immorality. You know, Cheryl, I would like to see some surveys done a few years from now when these kids realize, oh, wait a second, I'm really not a boy, I really am a girl, or vice versa. And I'm wondering, you know, what happens when these kids come to the realization that they were actually groomed to think that way as opposed to what they were born as?
Yeah, that is going to be such a sad time in America, right? The wake-up call that these youth are going to get sooner or later. And we've already seen some come to that truth, right? There are some very open spokespeople for pushing back against the LGBTQ agenda because they themselves have been victimized by parents or caretakers or members of the medical field who did the abusive medical treatments, even surgical procedures on their bodies and so forth that have made their transition, so to speak, permanent. And look, we're not doing our younger generation any favors by lying to them and telling them that they can become a different sex than what God ordained them to be. And there is going to be a time of accounting where these poor children are going to awaken to that reality, and they're going to realize that those supposedly put in positions to care for them have betrayed them. And I feel very compassionate toward these people when they're going to reach that point.
All right. Well, folks, again, you can follow Cheryl on her social media at Twitter, or it's on X now, at CK Chumley. That's C.K. Chumley on social media. And, of course, you can find all of her great work there on the Washington Times website. Cheryl, always good to have you on the show. And thank you again for the great interview.
Oh, thank you. And don't forget, listeners, pick up Twilight's Last Gleaming. You won't regret it. It's a great book. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Cheryl. And I agree. I endorse that message. All right. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to John in Tennessee, WTJS, our great affiliate there. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I just left from house from lunch, and I was watching Fox, and General Milley was being addressed by members of Congress, I think it was. He was, they were asking him about the Afghan withdrawal and the problems with it. His plan, and he said he had a plan for withdrawal. He originally was to leave 2,500 troops there. You know, it was supposed to stretch out a little bit longer. And now he's blaming the State Department, State Department, and which falls back to Joe Biden as well.
Okay, John, let me interrupt. We have a very, very bad phone signal. You're kind of cutting in and out. Let's get that fixed, guys, and see if we can't get John back on with us. All right, want to play some audio here. Elon Musk, this is a doozy. So Elon Musk and Don Lemon going at it. And what I love about Elon Musk is he really doesn't care, right? He owns X. So he can do really whatever he wants to do with it. And Don Lemon is very upset because, of course, he was his show was revoked after he treated Elon Musk, the owner of X, like garbage. Cut number four.
Yeah. Can we talk about the great replacement theory now? Some of the things that you post, the great replacement theory, you claim that Democrats, President Biden's immigration plan to open up the border, you said that the president is getting, and Democrats are doing it, to get more votes. But undocumented immigrants cannot vote in federal elections, so how is that possible?
Right. Well, you're conflating two things. One is great replacement theory. The other is, which I don't subscribe to that. I'm simply saying that there is an incentive here. If legal immigrants, which I think have a very strong bias to, at least everything I've read, it's a very strong bias to vote Democrat, the more that come into the country, the more they're likely to vote in that direction. But it is, in my view, a simple incentive to increase voters, to Democrat voters. So the question is, like, how? So there's a few ways that this works. One is that when the census is done, the census is based on all people in an area, whether they are citizens or not. So if there are a concentration of people who came here illegally in a particular state that state will actually then get an increased number of House seats. So the House seat apportionment is proportionate to the number of people, not the number of citizens. So the illegals overwhelmingly go to places like California, New York, if you just look at the math, if you look at the apportionment with and without illegals, I believe California would lose. I believe the blue state, there would be a net loss of blue states of approximately 20 seats in the House. This also applies to the Electoral College. So you say, like, well, this also applies to electing the president, because the electoral votes are also done by apportionment the same way that House seats are done.
But the reason, Elon, the Electoral College is in place is to balance that, is so that doesn't happen. So what you're saying about it is the exact opposite of the reason why the Electoral College is there. The Electoral College, at this point in our history, gives people who are in smaller states and red states much more of an influence over our elections than people who are in blue states and the majority of the people in this country. That's what the Electoral College does. It actually does the exact opposite of what you're saying. It protects people who are in smaller states and protects people who are in red states.
Well,
they tend to be smaller and less populous.
I think that statement is what you said is true, but what I said is also true, which is that if, as is the case, a disproportionate number of legal immigrants go to blue states, they amplify the effect of a blue state vote. And the math, as I understand it, and you can research this obviously very easily on it. It's pretty straightforward to research this. But my understanding is that there would be that the Democrats would lose approximately 20 seats in the House if illegals were not counted in the census, and that's also 20 less electoral votes for president. So the illegals absolutely do affect who controls the House and who controls the presidency. It does not affect the Senate.
All right. So Elon Musk is doing a terrific job here pushing back on this leftist nonsense. This was all part of an interview Lemon did that ended up getting him whacked from X in the first place. But here's what people like Don Lemon don't seem to understand about the free press. Because all of these reporters out there say, free press, it's the free press, the First Amendment. I have a right to... No, actually, you don't. The free press means that you've got a right to go out there and start your own press, right? So if Don Lemon decides that he's going to start a news publication and he wants to hire Todd Starnes, guess what? Todd Starnes has to do whatever Don Lemon says. So for people like Don and all the others in the media out there, these leftists, who've never owned anything, they've never built anything, and they want everything served to them on a silver platter, this is sort of a wake-up call. But that's what the free press is. The free press is you've got a right to go out there, and you can start your own press. You can report whatever you want to report on. By the way, we have some breaking news coming out of the Supreme Court, and this is very good news. The Supreme Court has just ruled they will allow the Texas deportation law to be enforced. So the Supreme Court is going to allow Texas to enforce the immigration and deportation laws. This is a massive blow to the Biden administration. So congratulations, Supreme Court. This is huge news. Congratulations to Texas Governor Greg Abbott and all of the great law enforcement agencies that are right now guarding our nation and trying to stop us from being further invaded. This is huge news. So we're going to keep you updated on this. Developments coming out. But again, the breaking news coming out of the Supreme Court here in just the past few seconds, the Supreme Court will allow Texas to enforce the new deportation law. So ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate, I think we need to start deporting people. Let's get a move on. Let's go ahead and round them up and move them out, as they used to say back on Rawhide. Head them up, move them out. Dylan, I want you to find the Rawhide theme song. We're going to be playing that in just a little while when we come back from break. I love this news. This means, by the way, that the law can now go into effect. So the litigation will continue in the lower courts, but it doesn't matter. We have a right now to deport every illegal alien that crosses that border. So let's get a move on. Six justices apparently siding with the law. Good job. Good job, Supreme Court. Good job, Trump picks for the Supreme Court as well. All right, 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, be sure to order a copy of my brand new book. It is out today, endorsed by President Trump. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And it is now available at either toddstearns.com, where you can get an autographed copy, or you can get a copy at your favorite bookstore. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Everybody, good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. The Supreme Court, moments ago, ladies and gentlemen, announced that Texas will be allowed to reinforce their border security plan, which means they now have a constitutional right to round up and deport all of these illegal aliens. So this is great news for the country, and we'll let you know once we start getting response from lawmakers. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our next guest had some very kind things to say about Twilight's Last Gleaming, and I want to read this. Todd Stearns, one of the top conservative voices in the country. He knows well how imperative it is we have strong fighters defending our Constitution and the American way of life. Todd is a true patriot. I want to welcome in my congressman here from Tennessee, Congressman David Kustoff. Congressman, first, thank you so much for being on the program, and thank you for writing that kind endorsement in the book.
Well, thank you, Todd. I know that book is, you've introduced it, and we had a really nice book signing celebration here in Washington last week, attended by a lot of dignitaries in the conservative world, and it's going to really take off, and I'm proud to be able to help out in any way we can. But I do want to ask you, was that the Rawhide theme I heard when I called it a moment ago?
You know your Westerns, Congressman. It was indeed. by the way, Jim Jordan was on earlier in the show, and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry he wasn't able to get there. And there was a lot going on last week in D.C. And I said, no, but Kustoff was saying some stuff about you. So I cleared it up.
Well, Todd, as you know, if we're on one side of a fight, you want Jim Jordan on your side.
Yes,
literally,
you do.
And figuratively.
yes, you do.
And Jim is a... we all know is a strong warrior. I tell you, I think about his leadership both on the Judiciary Committee and the Weaponization Committee in the House of Representatives, and he's one of the most trusted conservatives in all of Washington.
Well, Congressman, we had a great time last night in the district. We had the big book launch party, and just so many people coming out. It was just a lot of fun. But we got to talk politics now, and the news coming out of the Supreme Court just really in the past, 20 minutes or so now, is that the state of Texas will be allowed to enforce their immigration and deportation laws. This is good news. I want to get your reaction.
Yeah, this is a big deal by the Supreme Court, and I think we're all trying to go through the opinion and see what it says. It appears that it was decided by a 6-3 vote, which is probably also not a surprise, but it gives authority to Texas and the local law enforcement to do what Texas needs, and that's to arrest these migrants and likely to deport them. And it's something that we all know that Governor Abbott of Texas, the governor of Texas, has really screamed for. He wanted Biden and Harris to do their job, and that's to enforce the border, to make sure that the border is secure so that we don't have this flood of migrants. You know it because you report on it. We know it because we see it on television and on social media. The southwest border, the border of Texas, has been absolutely overrun these last 3 years by migrants who are coming through Texas, coming into all parts of the country. And I think the latest numbers that I saw, the number of encounters at the southern border is over 7 million, 7.2 million. So those are the ones we know about, not the ones who have crossed over, gotten into Texas and other states. So that's a big win for the state of Texas and, frankly, Todd, for the entire nation that the Supreme Court issue this very important historic ruling today.
Well, I think that's interesting you say that because we have seen an uptick in the number of violent incidents involving illegals and Americans on American soil. And so people all across the country, and we're talking places like Georgia, there's a case where a couple of people got stabbed at a laundromat in Missouri, the perpetrator there, an illegal, where every state has become a border state.
It really has. And, you know, people have been paying attention to this issue for a long, long time. And President Trump raised the issue, and obviously the border was much better protected under President Trump than it has since Biden has allowed, frankly, a porous border. But that tragic case that you just mentioned of the college student in Georgia, and her, just frankly, violent murder by the illegal immigrant, that is something that unfortunately everybody can touch and see and relate to. It makes it, unfortunately for that family, it makes it very real to the rest of the nation. So Biden has to go back to enforcing the law. You know, I think about where we are in this nation right now, and I mentioned that we know about 7 million plus encounters at the southern border since Biden took office. You know, you've talked about the extreme violence. The thing that I hear about, Todd, from my police chiefs and from sheriffs across West Tennessee is the tremendous amount of fentanyl that is not only in my congressional district, but in every single congressional district. It's all across the country. And it's all coming through, Todd, from the southern border. So, like, when the border control officials say that last year they seized 27,000 pounds of fentanyl, which incidentally is enough to kill every single American, that's good. But again, we don't know what's gotten through. I mean, there's more than that that is flooded this country right now. So this Supreme Court decision, I think, and again, we're all going through the decision as we speak, because it just came out in the last 30 minutes or so. It gives Governor Abbott and local law enforcement and state law enforcement the authority to do what federal law enforcement under Biden's direction has failed to do.
Mm. Congressman David Kostoff on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, as we head into the elections in November, certainly fresh on the minds of everyone is making sure that the Republicans maintain control of the House and we retake control of the Senate. How do we do that? What do Republicans need to do out there to get that to happen?
Well, I think there are a number of things. Number one is, you know, the top of the ticket, in my opinion, is really going to dictate a lot what happens at the Senate level and at the House of Representatives. And so the people that come out and vote for Donald J. Trump, I think, are going to go down the line, okay? And probably the same for the others. Issues matter, and, you know, Speaker Mike Johnson said a couple of months ago in a meeting with all of us, with Republican congressmen, that if he could have a T-shirt printed, it would say border, border, border. I mean, those are the issues. And we've been talking about it throughout this interview. The economy and the standard of living that has really dissipated during these Biden years. I mean, we all know what a dollar bought three and a half years ago and what it cannot buy now because of the rapid rise of inflation. People are going to come and vote on issues. So I think when they vote, they're going to vote for President Trump, and they're going to vote for these good Senate candidates. And we've got some really good Senate candidates running in states like West Virginia, which is one that we're going to pick up this year, and in Wisconsin. We've got a very important primary tonight in Ohio to choose our nominee to run in Ohio, and in Arizona. And at my level, at the House of Representatives, we've got some really good men and women who are running not only in open seats, Todd, but also where we're challenging Democrats who are very, very progressive. And so that ideology, when people like me say, you know, this is the most important election in 2024 of your lifetime, we mean it. I think everybody means it, and everybody gets it. And so they're going to go from the top, from Trump down to the Senate level and the House of Representatives, and we're going to be successful in November.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your great insight. And again, thank you so much for endorsing the new book project.
Yeah, I think we're all excited about the book, Todd. Thank you for spreading the message, and thank you for giving conservatives an outlet on radio, local radio and national radio. We really appreciate it.
Well,
we
thanks.
Appreciate you.
Thanks again, Congressman. And it was great seeing you last week up in Washington. Congressman David Kostoff, everybody, one of the good guys up on Capitol Hill. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. We are opening up the phone lines this hour of the show, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. And again, the breaking news coming out of the Supreme Court: they will allow Texas police to arrest illegals coming across that border. So if they think that you are an illegal and you're crossing the border, then they get to arrest you. This is within 24 hours, the Supreme Court has reversed itself on this. Absolutely insane. You say, Todd, what does that mean? All right. Well, let's just say that I'll give you an example here. We will use this as a learning moment. Let's say you're a Border Patrol agent and you see a fellow walking across that border. And you go over and say, sir, pardon me, sir. You there crossing the Rio Grande River without using the bridge. Sir, are you an American citizen?
Oh, sí, señor.
And at that moment, the Border Patrol agent is probably thinking, well, wait a second. If the guy was an American, he would have said, yes, I'm an American. But that's not what he said.
No, sí, señor.
No, I think you're an illegal. An illegal, sir.
No. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
No, sir, you are an illegal. You're under arrest. That's pretty much how it's going to work. Now, here's what needs to happen. Every Republican governor needs to start rounding up and sending the illegals back to where they came from. That's what needs to happen here. The reporting out of Fox, the Supreme Court will allow Texas to enforce the law that allows local police to arrest illegals. The ruling comes a day after the court extended a block on the state law at the request of the Biden administration. The Biden administration argued the law, known as Senate Bill 4, would usurp core federal authority on immigration. But Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the state law mirrored federal law and was put in place to compensate for the Biden administration's inadequate response at the southern border. Again, all of this is unfolding and has unfolded during this hour of the program. So we're going to keep you updated on any new developments as they happen. By the way, people still wanting to know, who is Trump going to pick as his vice presidential running mate? That's the question. And Newsmax wants to know what you think about it. They are conducting a national poll, and they're asking Americans, who do you think Trump ought to pick? That's a pretty simple question. And Newsmax wants to know who you want. You can vote right now by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That is SKIP to 39747, and they will send you a link to the poll. You will be able to participate. President Trump watches Newsmax all the time, and he would like to know your opinion. So let your voice be heard by texting SKIP to 39747. By the way, Attorney General Ken Paxton just weighing in. He says this is a huge win, all caps. Texas has defeated the Biden administration and the ACLU's emergency motions. Our immigration law, SB4, is now in effect as always. It's my honor to defend Texas and its sovereignty and to lead us to victory in court. Good for you, the great state of Texas. Good for you. 901-260-5926. I want to get to this report. I mentioned it during our conversation with Congressman Kostoff. O'Fallon, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis, an illegal alien now stands accused of stabbing two people in a laundromat. Cut 16.
Homeland Security told police Barrera Maya entered the states in 2021 through Eagle Pass, Texas.
No matter who's committing the crime, whether they be illegal or here legally, the O'Fallon, Missouri Police Department is going to take it seriously.
According to court documents, Barrera Maya was in the Highlander laundromat with a neighbor who was also the victim. Eventually, he hit the victim inside the business and chased them into a parking lot where he stabbed them in the back. Another person came to their aid. They were stabbed too. Then police say they quickly picked him up in his car.
Our detective bureau took over the investigation and obtained a confession.
Harris says Homeland Security told them Barrera Maya had a detainer from ICE.
All right, there you go. The guy should have already been deported. And as a result, people have stab wounds. This is what happens when you do not enforce the law. This is what happens, folks, when you have the open borders. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, you're going to want to tune in to our Newsmax 2 show. Also, I'll be appearing on the Chris Salcedo show this afternoon talking about the new book. All of you folks listening to us on WABC in New York City, I will be on Rita Cosby's show later tonight, and it is going to be an action-packed day. We started the day at 6 o'clock Eastern this morning, and we'll end the day tomorrow at, or tonight rather, at 10 o'clock Eastern. I hope Grace hasn't scheduled anything for the overnights, but you never know. We got to move books, ladies and gentlemen. What do you want me to tell you? All right, so again, please head over to ToddStearns.com, and you can order a book. You can get it wherever you buy your books, and I can't wait for you to read it. And here's the deal. When you do start reading, I want you to call in and let us know what you think about the new book. Pastor Jack Hibbs, Ralph Reed, Dr. Paul Chappell, among those who say you need to be reading this book. And I'm especially anxious for you. There are a couple of chapters that really stand out. But I do want to read this because this is who the book is for. This is the dedication page. And I want to read this as we head off to the top of the hour. This book is for my family, the staff at Stearns Media Group, and the bold ambassadors for Lady Liberty who listen to my radio show every day at noon from border to border and coast to coast across the fruited plain. That's you guys, by the way. You're the bold ambassadors. So thank you all so very much. You made this book happen by listening to this radio program, and I am grateful and thankful for that. Get out there, folks. Have a great day, and you be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.